Welcome to Living Word Ministries with director and Bible teacher Debbie Blank. Each week, Debbie examines current events through the lens of end times Bible prophecies. Please visit our website for information and past programs at livingwordministry.org. Now let's open our Bibles to focus on truths from God's Word with Debbie Blank.
We often talk on the show of the events, the nations, the technology, and the world conditions that are matching up with what the Bible says the world would look like in the times preceding the return of Jesus Christ. It is so exciting to be alive in these days and see the Bible come to life. But we seldom speak of the general attitudes of man's heart in these last days. The Bible is explicit that difficult times are going to come in the way that people act and the way they treat others. The world has seen some difficult times in the past. I mean, we've seen murderous regimes and dictators like Mao Zedong massacring 60 million of their own people. Same thing with Joseph Stalin killing 60 million. And of course, we can't forget Hitler. So we've seen horrible things by dictators, by individual people. But the Bible talks about collectively, people in general, and how they're going to be behaving in the last days. Never before have we experienced individual disdain for other people and for society in general in such a mass degree as we're seeing now and as the Bible said that we will see before Jesus returns. Today we're going to open the Bible to 2 Timothy to see people's attitudes in these last days.
And I'm co-host Jackie Sailors. Debbie, you just mentioned disdain for others on a mass scale, and I immediately thought of social media. Today's culture has not only hardened many hearts, but it has also paired that with a simple way to broadcast insults and attacks far and wide in just seconds. Social media can be used for a lot of good, too, uplifting many and even spreading the gospel. But the darker side has many people concerned. With the ease of Wi-Fi and the perceived shield of an electronic screen, it's easier than ever to attack individuals or groups and cause a great deal of harm. It all comes down to what is in a person's heart. When we open the Bible to 2 Timothy, we'll find a checklist of people's attitudes in the last days to compare with today's. Will we see the signs of people's hearts growing further away from the Lord in these last days? If we do, we can also have the certain hope that His return is even closer than ever.
It's not just social media that you talk about, Jackie. They're doing it publicly on TV, politician against politician. I think back to the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington that is about 60 or 70 years old. Back then in Washington, D.C., they treated people with respect even if they didn't agree with them. You don't see that anymore. We are not only doing it privately, but we are disdaining people publicly. Again, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 8 tells us that. Let me read the passage, and then we're going to walk through each of these individually to explain what they mean and how we're seeing it today. Paul is writing this to his son in the faith, Timothy, the last letter he's going to write. But realize this, then the last days, difficult times will come. Well, that last days is talking about the times preceding the return of Christ. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. That's pretty explicit as to how people are going to be acting. In the decades that I've been alive, I've seen a huge shift in the treatment of people. Where it used to be treating people with respect and with honor, giving them deference, nowadays it isn't that. I mean, we even have laws against bullying. I'm amazed that so few people actually use them with some of the bullying that's going on. But we always have had bullying, but never to this extent. But this says, in the last days, difficult times will come. The word for difficult means dangerous, perilous. And when you consider it, violent crimes from 2021 to 2022 have increased 75%. That doesn't include murders, just violent crimes in general. Rape and sexual assaults have increased 58%, robberies 47%, aggravated assault more than doubled. And all this is according to the National Crime Victims Survey. That right there gives us an idea of how people are not caring about other people because they're treating them with disrespect and they're being violent in how they're doing it. In addition to that, the gun sales from 2019 to 2020 doubled. People are afraid. They're concerned that people are going to break into their homes or cause damage to they or their families, and they want to be able to protect themselves.
I know that parents are pretty concerned about protecting their children as well. And again, getting back to social media for just a bit, parents are trying to figure out how to save their children from some of these following things that they're seeing rise on social media. And we're talking about teens and tweens even. There's an increase in self-harm and suicide ideation, sexual content, anxiety, drugs and alcohol, bullying, depression, disordered eating, predators, and violence. All of these things reaching into people's homes. No wonder people feel threatened.
That's not as easy to defend yourself, and it's changing people's hearts and attitudes. Not just that, but our school systems, when you consider it. We have some fabulous teachers in our school system, but we also have some others that are promoting an agenda. What do we do about that when our kids are learning things contrary in school to what we believe, and sometimes we don't even know it? So their minds are being turned to depravity. So difficult times are going to come, dangerous, perilous. We're seeing that. It goes on to say that men will be lovers of self. That means we put ourselves first. We are on the center of our throne. Everything revolves around me. We're seeing that in the fact that people have turned away from Christ and Christianity. You will see statistics that say that a majority of people are spiritual. But what is that spirituality? Oftentimes, it revolves around me, putting me at the center of my life. When in fact, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Doesn't say seek yourself. And when he gave us the commandments, he says, love your neighbor as yourself, according to Matthew 22:39. Another significant passage in Philippians 2:4, Paul tells us, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Love is a premise of who God is and who we are to be. And that love is not to be of ourselves. It's to be of God first and then our neighbor.
So if you do whatever is good for you first, then you're going to be putting other people down. You're not concerned about their rights. If you put Christ first, then you're doing what's pleasing to him and you're following his commands. We're supposed to love one another as Christ loved us. That's just the opposite of this self-centered thing that we're seeing predicted in the scriptures and we're seeing played out today.
The next attitude of people in the last day will be lovers of money. Well, certainly we have people who are struggling to keep food on the table. So it's not the love of money as much as it is the need of money. But there is a huge change in the attitude of people for a love of money. They'll do anything for it. They have gambling so we can get rich quick. You have sex trafficking, which is the number one financial resource for people that follow in that genre of the world. And it's so lucrative financially. They're showing extreme greed for wealth or material gain, which is what it means to be a lover of money. Ecclesiastes 5:10, Solomon warned us. He said, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. Because someone who loves money is never satisfied. There's always more. 2 Peter 2:3 also says, talking about false prophets, in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. We see that a lot too. When people want more or more money, they will then do whatever they have to do to hurt somebody else in order to get it. That's the attitude we're seeing today. Now, has that attitude been here in the past? Certainly it has, but not to the extent that we're seeing it today.
Well, and we're seeing scams either on the national or local or international levels. I have a friend who was just hacked and lost access to her Social Security and all her benefits. It was terrible. And it was just an innocent thing that she clicked on. They were able to help her out. And so she's got everything back, but it took a while and it interrupted her life and put her into a general attitude of fear because her whole livelihood was at stake. There are people who hack into that and choose senior citizens just because they might be easy marks and don't care at all about them.
And another thing is on the emails. When you get an email that looks too good to be true, look at who sent it And most of the time, the person who sent it has nothing to do with the company or the person that's sending you the email. So that's just a little tip. Be careful, because as you say, scammers everywhere. The next attitude is boastful. That's simply a braggart talking about yourself. Now, there's a caveat here, because it's important at times when you're doing a resume, for example, that you promote yourself, because you want to look good being truthful, not embellishing, look good for a job application. But this is talking about where we're bragging about ourselves. 1 Corinthians 1:27 to 29, Paul says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. If we're boasting now, it's going to be short-lived, because God is the one that we are to boast in, not ourselves. The reality is, anything that we are, anything that we have, God has given us. So we should always boast in him for what he's done, not in ourselves.
So many times when you get on social media, people are putting their very, very best foot forward. They're going to show you their best vacations and their best possessions or whatever, and everybody's happy and their lives look wonderful. And that can be pretty depressing if your existence is pretty mundane and you think, well, everybody's better than I am. Just kind of keep in mind that most people are putting their best foot forward on those exchanges and the best pictures up front.
And it's not bad to do that, as long as your attitude's right. I enjoy sharing our pictures from Israel when we go, because I want people to be able to see God's land when they can't go there. That's not boastful. It's educational, in my opinion.
It's so sharing.
It depends on your attitude. Am I talking about myself for my benefit, or is it to give glory to God or others? And then the next point is very similar. It's being arrogant. That means people are proud. They're appearing above other people. How many people do we know that are social media influencers? Because their goal is to have as many social media as they can have so that they can get more attention and more money because they have more sponsorships and things. They're promoting themselves. It's all about them. When we're arrogant, it's all about us. James 4:6 says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When we consider Jesus Christ, he was the most humble man ever, and we are to emulate him, not be arrogant about who we are.
And we do want to balance this. Social media can be used for good things. There are social media influencers that are good and kind and are just trying to do a service for people. But we just want you to look and see if you recognize some of these attitudes that aren't good and that they're being able to be broadcast in some of these ways.
And the fact is, we just want to bring your attention to what the world's going to look like in these last days. And if you compare today with even 20 years ago, or certainly 50 years ago, it's totally different. In all of these areas, we have gone down that slippery slope to falling into these characteristics as a nation, but also as a world, just like God said it would happen. Again, the next attitude of people is a reviler. Really, what it means is blasphemous. So that's criticizing in an abusive or angry, insulting manner someone else. We're most familiar with the term blasphemy in the Bible when people blasphemed God. Criticizing Jesus because he claimed to be God. In the book of Revelation, criticizing God or blaspheming God because of all the struggles that are coming on and basically blaming God. It is certainly about God, but not just about God. We do it to other people. Look at politics. People are blaspheming other people. And it's not just politics, it's news. I will open up my emails. I will see these enticing headlines thinking, oh my gosh, something terrible has happened to somebody. And I read the body has nothing to do with it, because they're really using abusive or critical language that isn't accurate. In Leviticus 24:16, God said, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. That tells us that people should not be revilers or blasphemous against God. And yet, what are we seeing today? We're seeing the world turn against Christianity, against Jesus Christ. The number of Christians in this world has decreased significantly in the last 100 years because people have gone to what's called nuns, which is they have no religious affiliation. They may be spiritual, or they think they are, but they have no religious affiliation, which means they're just seeking and doing what seems right in their own eyes, which is blaspheming God, who tells us that we are here on this earth to give him glory. Therefore, if we're not giving it to him, we're not obeying him.
And blasphemy also has to do with lying about God, attributing things to God that are wrong and evil that aren't of God. And you can do the same thing to a human being. And so there's a lot of false witness bearing that's going on out there. People are just saying things, making things up out of whole cloth sometimes in order to revile someone and to ruin their reputation, which is akin to murder when you look at scripture. And so you don't want to murder someone's character and be responsible for that.
Matthew 5 says that. You have been told that you shall not commit murder. But I say to you that anyone who calls your brother a fool, or any kind of negative term is what the Bible is indicating, is guilty before God and before the courts. So if we're blasphemous, it's against God, but it's also against other people. And again, we're seeing it all the time in the news media and elsewhere. Continuing on, we have an attitude of disobedience to parents. The attitude of children towards their parents has changed so significantly. We're told, of course, in the fifth commandment, you are to honor your father and your mother in Exodus 20:12. Honor, that means give deference to, pay attention to, do everything you can to lift them up and to help them, not tear them down. And Ephesians 6:1 tells us the same thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But when people have the attitude of being boastful and arrogant, when their love is of self, when their love is of money, they don't care what their parents think. The idea that children are being allowed legally to make decisions with or without their parents' approval, right there is an injustice in our society that goes along with this being disobedience to parents.
To see the undermining, the deliberate undermining of parental authority that we're seeing in our culture today like we've never seen before. When we think of giving birth control pills or taking girls across state lines for abortions or these sex change situations where they just cut the parents out from underneath the decision making or even the influencing of their own children, that's something that we haven't seen before.
Going along with the next characteristic, it's ungrateful. That means we're thankless. People are thankless to their parents, but they're also thankless to God and to other people. How many times do you hear someone say thank you with a genuine smile on their face? They expect it now. Whatever they're given or however they're treated, if it's positive, they think they deserve it. They're expected, so they're not grateful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. It's ungrateful is an attitude of a heart turning away from God because we don't appreciate who we are through God and what we have by him. And then we have the unholy attitude, which is downright wicked. The things they're doing to other people now, the fact that we're bringing Satan into the schools, the wickedness is unbelievable. Matthew 15 tells us out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. Yet Leviticus 1:44 says we are to be holy as God is holy. To see something and know whether it's holy or wicked only can happen if we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts guiding us and showing us God's heart and what's right and what's wrong.
The next word in the scripture is unloving, which is astorge in the Greek, and it means without natural affection. There would be natural affection between parents, parents and children, but we're seeing so much, I think with abortion, I think with human trafficking, there's no natural affection that's going on. We can go then to malicious gossips. We certainly have a lot of that, but that's slander, false accusations. We've talked about politics before. Politics is full of that. Also, irreconcilable. When you can't be reconciled to one another, this is called truce breaking. It has to do with marriages. People are breaking that covenant all the time. Agreements, court cases, so forth, we've got in our judicial system. We just kind of have to shake our heads as to what is going on there.
Yes, there's 40 million court cases a year in the United States. That clearly shows that people are irreconcilable and greedy because they want something. Well, they've mentioned several other things without self-control. The word there means incontinent. Now, we know what incontinent means. It means involuntarily defecating on yourself or wetting yourself, and that's so embarrassing. And yet that's what we have right now, is without self-control. Brutal, which means fierce. Think of Hamas cutting off the heads of people on October 7th, or murdering or burning them and raping them all throughout the captivities. We have haters of good. That means people are hostile to virtue. They're despisers of those things that are good. And they, of course, are that way because no one is good except God alone, according to Mark 10:18, which shows that people are not followers of God. Treacherous. Well, we know that means a traitor or someone who betrays us or is disloyal. Think of businesses now that just fire people unequivocally without thinking about their future and not caring enough. There's no loyalty involved. We see politicians doing the same thing, where they say one thing and then they do something else once they're elected. Reckless. Reckless means we're just really not thinking beyond the moment. We don't think of any consequences out there. We just do what we want to do. Next one is lovers of pleasure. Well, we could talk about that all day. Why do we have abortion? Because people wanted to have sex and they didn't want to have any consequences. Lovers of pleasure, gambling. We want to get rich quick. I think of the fact that the Super Bowl is pretty much the number one holiday in the year, practically. It's, even though it's not a legal holiday, for this country, over Christmas or anything else, because we love pleasure. The next attitude is holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And then God says, avoid such men as this. When people are godless, don't hang around with them. Psalm 1:1 says, do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. We're told very clearly not to do that. Avoid such people as that, because they'll rub off on us.
All of these qualities that we've talked about that we see just exploding in our culture, it seems like, and the things that were predicted for the end times, we're supposed to avoid people that display those characteristics. The scripture also says those who enter, creep, or sneak into households and captivate or capture weak women who are silly or foolish, weighted or laden, piled up with sins, led on by various impulses, these are the people who are vulnerable to that sort of thing.
When it says they're led on by various impulses, the Greek word is epithumia, which is a word for love in Scripture, but it's a bad word because it means lust. It deals with longing for what is forbidden. So these women are susceptible to being led astray. And then there's people out there that are taking advantage of that. That was during Paul's time. But as we've talked about sex trafficking, we talk about prostitution, we talk about relationships outside marriage, because people in these days are more susceptible to doing the wrong thing, to forgetting caught up in those situations than they ever were before. The reality is, in many cases, there's no consequences to doing wrong. You might end up getting a divorce if you were in a marriage and that happened. You might end up getting put in jail for a day if you did something wrong, but it used to be you'd be put in prison. Those things aren't happening anymore. If you have no consequences, there's no reason not to fall prey to these attitudes. It goes on in that passage to say, people are always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. The knowledge, that's epignosis, that's full discernment of the truth. We're talking about the truth of God. So they're never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Why is that? Because they're not seeking the truth. They resist the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Because if they hear the truth of what God says, it goes against what they want to do. An example would be people now who are saying that they were really born a girl, but they are a boy in their heart, and therefore they want to become a male, or vice versa. That's against the truth. What you say when that happens is that God made a mistake because he made me a girl and I'm really a boy, or vice versa. And so we're criticizing God. We're opposed to really knowing and seeking the truth. We seek a truth that matches up with our desires. Then the final two, one is men of depraved mind. That's talking not just about actions here, but it's talking about those who are corrupt. Actually, depraved means they utterly perish because of their mind. Their mind is so full of darkness, their intellect, their understanding. I think of Jeffrey Epstein and all the horrible things that happened. Again, sex trafficking that we keep bringing up, child pornography, the things that are an abomination in our minds. Men of depraved minds think that way. That's what they want, and they want more of it. And our culture, unfortunately, is even legalizing or allowing some of these depraved minds. What happens when we go down that slippery slope? We keep going. We don't stop and turn back. We keep falling away from God and the truth. And then finally, it says rejected in regards to the faith. So in these last days, difficult times will come. And the last one is that men and women will be worthless. They'll be reprobates in regard to the faith. And that means the faith of believing in Jesus Christ. People cannot be completely sold out to Jesus Christ and turn away from him, even under the guise of persecution. We have saints throughout the centuries who stood up for their faith, and that grew the faith in Jesus Christ because they were so convinced of it. If we truly believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and we will have eternity with him, we will stand up for him in the midst of the fire. We will not turn away from him. And yet people are today more and more. Most people's Christianity is based on, well, I belong to such and such a church, or I grew up in such and such a church. And they may even follow their church, but they don't have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's the case, they are rejected then in regard to the faith. The only way to have true faith is to have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, where you recognize him as God, as the only one who can save you from your sins, as the one who died and rose again from the dead so that we can spend eternity with him. And he awaits us in heaven. We have that hope of eternal life with him. That's true faith in Jesus Christ, making him the Lord of our lives so we follow him, not ourselves, as the God of our lives. Now, with all that we just read of what the world is going to look like in the end days, do you see that happening now? Again, those characteristics have been around forever because they're all based on sin, but they're growing like birth pangs. They're getting stronger and stronger, and you're seeing them more and more in people's hearts and lives. We even see them in our churches, which is so disheartening to think that Christians are doing these things to other Christians. And yet in the following verses 14 and 15 in 2 Timothy 3, Paul gives us encouraging things that we're to do. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So whenever God tells us about the evil, he gives us the answer. And the answer here is good, which is faith through Jesus Christ. We have to remember 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Even if the world is going to act these last days that we just read, we, however, are to be the light of the world. We are to do everything for the glory of God. Will you do that? Will you make sure that you follow God and not the ways of the world? Be part of the solution rather than the problem.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Word Ministries with Debbie Blank. This is a listener-supported show. If you'd like to support this program or contact Debbie Blank, you may do so at P.O. Box 540-003, Omaha, Nebraska 68154, or visit our website at livingwordministry.org. Please tune in each week at this same time for Living Word Ministries with Debbie Blank.